MailTalkRadio.com.
I have one question for everybody here tonight.
Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Now, I put no stock in what any man thinks, only what I know. And what I know is this: the result will be just like the first time. I will put him 6 feet under. Game over.
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
I am talent. I am fame. I am music. I am the air you breathe. I am everything.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
It was a very legend-filled night of Monday Night Raw. This is Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. And as always, if you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangle button below the screen. I'm Sir Rockin', joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Good evening, everyone. It's Monday night. Things happened. You know what that means. We're going to talk about them.
Indeed. So Monday Night Raw opened up with the legends. Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair, Big Show, and Christian.
You feel so bad for Christian. You know, you really do.
Shawn welcomed us to Monday Night Raw. He brought out Drew McIntyre.
I didn't play the sound.
What sound?
I resubscribed. It didn't play the sound.
Did you share your notification?
Oh, no. I was trying to be all sneaky and...
You have to...
It's boots to asses time!
Share the notification. Share this thing to get the sound.
There we go.
She used her Prime subscription.
Ding!
She's a Prime gamer. Anyway. Thanks, Lindsay Ward, for 7 months. Anyway. Where were you? Oh, yeah. They were all in the ring. They brought out Drew McIntyre. He praised everyone. How Big Show taught him a lot. Christian always stood up for him, and Shawn mentored him in NXT, and then they all gave him great advice, right? Ric Flair told him good stories.
I think the advice Ric Flair gives you technically can't acknowledge on public television, mm-hmm. because I'm 90% sure it's not legal.
And he took a shot at Shawn retiring Flair, when Drew was on the roster. Then he mentioned how they came out and did what they did, and Shawn said, well, we all got together, and, well, we wanted some retribution, without saying the word. He said revenge, not retribution, because you can't say retribution anymore, because it's a stable. And then they all just played. Shawn said if Drew's upset, it was Flair's fault. Randall appeared on the screen, and he talked about, you know, what happened, and he said if McIntyre thinks thinks that they went through hell at Clash of Champions, but they haven't seen anything yet. They went through hell. Hell, and McIntyre assumed that Orton was going to beg for another rematch, but Orton said, I don't need a bag, they'll just give me one, because I'm a 13-time WWE champion. He said there's a price to pay for crossing the Legend Killer. And then Orton left. Drew said, since Orton's gone, I feel like putting my title up for grabs. So he issues an open challenge for Monday Night Raw for the WWE title, and the only people that can fight him are someone he hasn't fought for the championship just yet. Not bad.
Yeah, it wasn't bad at all. I mean, I think having the Legends was a little gratuitous. Just a little.
But there's a reason for it.
there's a reason for it, so it ties in later in the show, so it's fine. But yeah, but it was just like...
It was that and, well, there's a big Monday Night Football game on, so you want to throw out your legends first.
I mean, I will always take Shawn Michaels any way that I can get him. And, so this is fine. This is completely fine.
And you will on NXT. He's going to be moderating a face-to-face between Kyle and Finn.
Where's William? Can't William do that? Shawn shouldn't be put in that kind of danger.
They want Shawn there. Because it's Shawn.
I mean, Shawn could be there, but Shawn's probably not in that kind of danger.
I mean, after tonight, maybe he won't be there. Anyway, we'll get to that in a moment.
We'll talk about that. But yeah, I mean, this was a good opening segment. Randy is looking for revenge.
Because they went through hell. Hell and... Anyway.
I'm really curious how they're going to do two Hell in a Cell matches. I'm just saying, I really want to see how they pull this off. I mean, if anybody can do it, it's WWE. But, I mean, the only thing... Well, we can talk about that later. But, like, yeah, I'm very interested to see how they do this.
Kayla was talking to Zelina, and Zelina had enough of Kayla. And said, she said, basically, you're not ready for her. And she's like, yes, I am. And Asuka's, you're not ready. And that led to their title match. Zelina, Asuka, 1-on-1, one more time. The rematch from the pay-per-view. Asuka, once again, with the win.
I mean, this was a nice follow-up match. I'm a little sad Zelina lost just because I want Zelina Vega to be much more of a threat because I feel like they've made her more of a threat as a manager than they have as a wrestler, which I understand this is only like her third or fourth match on the main roster, but still, it's like when, you know, this is a woman that will go to any length to win, including poisoning people, just saying. So
you love bringing that up.
It's creative. When was the last time anybody poisoned anybody? I mean, hell, she just like straight up did it. You know, there's not even any remorse for it. She was just like, okay, you poisoned now. Bye.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't necessarily, like, I know it's early, but given the fact that she will do literally anything to win, I find it a little disheartening that they're just, like, sort of like, okay, well, we don't have anybody else, so we're going to put you against Asuka, and we're going to split you out of the group, and we're just going to basically take away everything that made you unique and cool, and just here you go.
Then Andrade came out, blamed her for everything, and then, you know, she's walked to the back, and then he started cutting a promo talking about how Garza was weak, and he boasted about how great he is. So he issued an open challenge, and then he got his ass kicked by Keith Lee.
Basically. Andrade, don't talk smack to her. You need her. Garza, we'll see. We'll see how long Garza's out for. That's a early blame Brent.
Yeah.
But yeah. Don't be talking smack about Zelina. Number one, if it weren't for her, you wouldn't be where you are right now. That's all I'm saying. Because she sort of showed up in NXT and they put you two together and she sort of helped to make you.
Yeah.
Just
pointing that one out.
You know, so maybe don't talk smack about her.
Earlier in the day, it was lunchtime. MVB and Shelton were sitting there eating lunch and some random dude just sits down. Bobby Lashley just said, you're my seat. So he moved to another seat and then said, that's still my seat. The man left. You took my food. He gave him the food.
Okay, this is fine.
No, it was stupid. it was legit stupid. But go rant.
I have an issue with this. And I don't want to be that person. Like, I really don't want to be that person. But in the middle of a pandemic, the dude licked the food. Like, he was eating the food and he was putting his fork back in the food. And basically they implied that Bobby was going to eat it. And that's so not sanitary. I'm sorry. It's just so not sanitary. Like, I'm not a germaphobe, okay? I am a firm believer of the 5-second rule. Depending on the food, it can be waived in certain situations, not publicly. In your own house, mainly. But anyway, probably too much information. But yeah, this was like, this just gave me the heebie-jeezies.
Easy for you to say.
Yes, easy for me to say, because, well, I'm sitting here rubbing my eyes, because I'm just, like, kind of frustrated with this, and I can't talk and press my eyeball into my skull at the same time. But I digress. Pandemic. COVID. Spit! No! No! You just had like a bunch of people just test positive for fucking COVID and you do this! Why?
Because you gotta
I know it's not real!
You gotta make them look like bullies.
There are other ways to do that other than taking somebody's food that they've licked! Like, that's so gross! That's so... Even pre-COVID! No! No! If they've licked it, it's theirs! Period. End of discussion. Like, no, you take that and you go because I don't know where you've been and I don't know what you have. That applies twofold here of I don't know where you've been, I don't know what you have, and I don't want what you have. So please, just take your food and go. Like, no. Just, you should have, I mean, and it's so stupid. It's so ridiculous. It's such a small little thing. But it's just like, why? Why would you do that? That is not normal on any front. I'm sorry. I'm done. I'm just done ranting. But yeah, that was just like, and I get it. You're trying to make them look like bullies. You're trying to make them look like bad guys. They're trying to reestablish that line that the Hurt Business are the bad guys. And I don't want to say bad guys, but like
bullies.
They're the heels.
They're the bullies.
They're the bullies. Because it was confusing last week because they stood up against Retribution last week and then like an hour and a half later, they were back to being bullies again. So it was really confusing because it's like, wait, are they good guys or are they bad guys? Are they bullies or are they not bullies? Like, why are they standing up to Retribution? This makes no sense. Other than authority figure Pierce had paid them to do it. That was the only logical reason for it. But it's just like, if you remembered that, that's great. But odds are you probably didn't remember that because that was such a small thing from last, like, 2 weeks or 3 weeks ago. But it's like, oh, right. They got paid to do it. So they're firmly putting them back as heels. But it's just like, no. Why? Just why?
You good?
I'm fine.
Backstage, R-Truth is playing chess with Little Jimmy. A ninja shows up, hands him an envelope. It was a message from Tozawa, who was eaten by a shark last week.
Actually, wasn't it like a couple weeks
ago? No, it was only last week.
Was that only last week?
It was only last week.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Then the ninja gave Truth a briefcase, which had Tozawa's black belt in it. Then Tozawa appeared. He lives! He's alive! And wins the 24/7 championship. The ninja then hits Tozawa with the briefcase. He wins the 24/7 championship. Ninja! No, it was Drew Gulak. Then R-Truth hits him with the briefcase, and he wins back the 24/7 championship.
One, that is so not good for my fantasy team. Two, I appreciate the fact that they made the belt glow inside the briefcase. And I don't think it was 100% intentional that they made the belt glow inside the briefcase. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's the same briefcase that they had explode all over Seth Rollins.
Speaking of... Backstage, Murphy's seen texting on his phone when Seth Rollins shows up. They hug, and he's all excited. It's a big night. The Mysterio family's on King's Court, and he's wondering why Murphy was in his gear. You don't match? Get dressed up. Come on, it's a night for celebration. So he goes and leaves. Murphy left his phone. Rollins takes said phone. Now it's time for the King's Court. Jerry Lawler welcomes the Mysterios. Oh, the Bray says Seth Rollins can't control his own health, and now he's trying to control disrupt mine. He said he's the father of Dominic and Aaliyah. He said they have been his entire life since they were born. He says Rollins is evil human being. Dominic says it's going on too long, and next time he sees Rollins, he's going to put an end to it. And Lawler brought up the whole thing between Ray and Aaliyah, and Murphy apologizing to her. Aaliyah's 19. That's what she said. And she said she doesn't know what to make of Murphy, but she said whoever is around Rollins needs to reevaluate their lives because Rollins is a fraud. Seth Rollins appears on the screen, and he said, well, the Mysterios was not telling the truth. He said, well, he might not be telling the truth about her relationship with Murphy. Rollins says they didn't believe his words, that, well, they could see for themselves, since there was texts or DMs on the screen between Aaliyah and Murphy, where included a happy birthday.
Okay, I'm going to hit the emergency meeting button.
Okay, what did you find?
So it's on cams.
Okay.
And I saw somebody vent.
Okay.
No. So, okay. All right. This is... One, this was good. This up to here, this was good. This whole thing was good. But go ahead and finish, and then I'm going to do my thing. Because there's something kind of sus.
All right, so we're skipping vote?
We're skipping vote, but there's something sus that I'm going to talk about after you're done.
Okay. Aaliyah told Ray that Murphy isn't like Rollins. And, well, she left the ring, and Ray and Angie were following after their daughter. And then Buddy showed up, and he wasn't happy with Rollins, who accused him of lying and hiding things. And Murphy then grabbed the chair, grabbed Rollins by the collar. Dominic arrived and attacked Murphy. And they had to be pulled apart. Okay. I'm finished.
So this is a very, 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 very small, minute detail, but I'm going to bring it up anyway because it's what I do. How did Rollins get into Murphy's phone?
Dum dum dum.
Because that's a, unless Murphy has it turned off, has the passcode turned off, which I very much doubt he does.
Or still unlocked. It could have been unlocked. Could have still been unlocked by the time he picked it up. Because some people like, leave their phone unlocked like for like 5 minutes.
That's one possibility.
I mean, that is the evidence we could have.
That is the evidence we could have. The other possibility is that Seth knows the passcode.
Or he just doesn't have a passcode and he just swipes up.
No, I think on an Apple device, I think you do have to have a passcode. I think that was an Apple. I think any smartphone now, I think you do have to have.
No, you have the option to.
Okay, well, when I set up, it made me set it up. And you should have security on your phone, by the way, just as a PSA. But anyway, so there is that possibility, but okay, hypothetically. Let's say Murphy does actually lock his phone, which he probably does, given his profession and the propensity for people to look through it.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say he locks his phone. Again, how did Seth get into it? Does he know the passcode to get into it?
He might. Or
which, again, is weird. Why would Seth need the passcode to Murphy's phone?
Could be just his birthday.
Could be his address. Could be anything, right? Could be simple. Seth could have guessed, or Seth could know it. Or is that Murphy's phone? Could that be a burner phone?
Could be.
Could Murphy have unlocked his phone for Seth? And this is all an elaborate ruse. It's really clever how they did this. But it's just like I'm sitting there and Rollins is going through Murphy's phone and it's like, huh. So he had to get in the phone. He had to screen cap the conversation.
Get it to production.
Get it off the phone and get it to production to use it in the segment. All in a span of...
5 minutes.
5 minutes. Not saying it's impossible.
He vented.
He totally vented. He 100% vented. We're voting Seth Rollins off. We're sending him into the vacuum of space. No. It's just a little sus. That's all I'm saying is... Are Murphy's intentions true? Are Aaliyah's intentions true? Or could Rey Mysterio's baby girl be up to something slightly nefarious?
Dum, dum, dum. Guess we're going to have to find out. More than a minimum. Up next, we had Natalya and Lana in the ring claiming they're the reasons there's tag titles and that they should be the tag champs and Nia and Shayna should be stripped and... Authority figure Peter says that's not going to happen, but I'm going to let you earn it and earn your way up the ranks. And you fire new members of the Raw roster, Mandy, and Dana Brooke.
This is the moment where I sat here and asked Rock, when the hell did Dana Brooke become part of Raw? When did that happen? Because last I checked, she was on SmackDown. And the answer is today.
Mandy and Dana won.
I feel bad for Natty and Lana. Like, I really do, because they did have something, and they were really making an effort and really trying, and something happened that basically caused this to get killed. I don't know whether it just wasn't going over, or there were external factors that were involved in this, but it's obvious that whatever strength they had behind them that was pushing them forward is very clearly gone, because they're getting pushed downward every time we see them, unfortunately.
Kevin Owens versus Aleister Black. Aleister Black had new music, new whole entrance. They had a solid match. Ended weird when Black accidentally hit the ref, and the ref called for DQ, so he was mad, and then Kevin hit the stunner, and I don't think anyone got over.
I will say this. I like Aleister's entrance. I like the new look. I like the new attitude. And I like how they're selling the eye, because it looked like he had like a contact in that blacks out his eye, so it looks messed up.
Yep.
And so I like how they did that. It's a clever way to get around that, so he doesn't have to walk around with a bandana on his head all the time. And he doesn't have to do a mask or anything like that. But yeah, this was good. I wasn't a fan of the 50-50-ness of this, but I think they had plans for Kevin Owens, and I think they had plans for Aleister Black. And it's like, what do you do? Well, you do this.
This is not the time to finish this feud off.
Yeah, so I get why they did it, but I don't think it helped either man.
No. R-Truth retained the title against Drew Gulak and Tozawa.
Did not help my fantasy team at all.
Dominic Mysterio and Murphy battled. pretty solid. Murphy got the win when Aaliyah came out to ringside and was trying to help her brother and tell him to stop. He stop. You don't hurt him. Don't hurt him. Well, Dominic won. Lost. We have a schoolboy. And then they bickered. I'm doing this for you. I'm doing this for our family and our legacy. Dominic said that their dad was right. She's naive. And then Aaliyah, who could have slapped some harder, slapped Dominic. She could have laid into him harder.
She's hit him harder. Don't tell me she hasn't hit him harder. They're siblings. She has totally hit him harder than that. I mean, it was effective, like it worked, but the legacy line was a little much. It's like, would y'all just get out of her way and let her get what she wants? Clearly she wants some of Murphy. It may not be the best choice. It's probably going to end poorly for her, but just get out of her way and just let her do her thing, which is him, okay? Just let her. Just move. You're in the way.
So it was the Hurt Business versus Shelton versus Mustafa Ali, Ricochet, and Apollo Crews. Before the match really kicked off, we had some flickering lights and the Retribution logo as the heels were in the ring. What's going on? Retribution here? Are they here? They were not. Mustafa Ali pinned MVP.
And what's also was interesting was Mustafa Ali was seen coming out of the Hurt Business's locker room. So it's interesting, again, kind of sus, that you have Ricochet, Mustafa Ali, and Apollo Crews all in the ring, and Retribution's badging shows up, and the lights flicker, and they take advantage, and they get a win, just like Kevin Owens did. I wonder, just kind of sus, just a little bit.
Drew McIntyre came out to the ring for his open challenge. Dolph Ziggler came out, who was earlier in the evening talking to authority figure Pierce, as he had an idea. And, well, he brought out the returning Robert Roode.
He looks wonderful.
He's lost some weight, lost some mass, grown out his hair. Either way,
he's glorious.
He kept his music. People were worried. Drew McIntyre got the win. Really good match.
This was a really good match. I'm a little sad that they brought Bobby back and he lost. Like, you could actually build. And I'm not saying that they can't do it. Like, they could still totally do it as build Bobby up into a credible threat for Drew, but this just does not help.
But
his cause at all.
But it does eliminate him.
Yes, it does. So that removes him from the list of champions that could be returning to NXT. So maybe we can still believe.
Talk more about that Thursday. So, throughout the night, the legends were playing cards backstage. They would cut to it randomly throughout the night. So after this match is over and Drew's celebrating in the ring, we go backstage and a hooded janitor is walking around and he approaches the legends lounge where they're playing cards. The janitor slowly takes off his mask and it's Randy Orton. Takes off the mask and puts on night vision goggles. Walks in the room and they go, "Oh, it's Randy!" He turns out the light, and then all you hear is crashes of smacks with a chair. The lights go back on, and all four legends are down for the count.
Except Sean, who's trying to get up.
Well, that's always Sean. Then he walks out of the locker room, puts his hood back up. Security and everyone's referees are running to the locker room. He just points, and slowly pushes his cart away.
So I have to applaud the creativity of this. I really do, because this was incredibly clever.
Yeah, it was.
Of them. One of having, we get the good old sneaky Randy Orton, where he employs a disguise to get close to everybody that he's hurt previously. And then, how do you get around three people in that room not being able to take a bump or a chair shot or anything?
Well, two. Two.
Technically three.
Sean can bump.
It's the question of, does Sean want to bump?
Well, he can. Wanting is a, you know,
different story.
Yeah.
Anyway, so what do? You turn out the lights and you use night vision goggles to orchestrate the attack. I really, really appreciate that. Just in terms of how to get around Randy doing that. Because the camera's in the room the whole time. And you hear the struggle and you hear the fight and you hear the chair, but you can't see anything. And you're like, what the hell's going on? And then the lights come back up and everybody's down. And there's stuff. And there's also stuff strewn everywhere. The room is completely messed up. Like, everything's destroyed. Like, it looks like Randy just absolutely went to town, which is what it should be. And you know what they're doing is they're throwing stuff around in the room, and Randy's just randomly hitting stuff as they're doing this. Like, you know that's what's actually going on, but the effectiveness of this was so, so good. And then the nice little touch at the end is Randy throws his hood up and he gets away with it and he just walks off.
It reminded me of the movie The Fugitive.
Mm-hmm.
Where he just pointed and they did pointed as he walked away.
Yeah.
Good stuff. I liked it.
Very good stuff. Yeah. This was a very good ending to Raw, and it shows that, well, Randy Orton isn't quite done with Drew McIntyre just yet.
He's looking to go hell in the... We're not quite there yet.
We're getting there, though.
Thursday, though, we have a big show planned.
That's right. Tune in, because we are going to talk all about Clash of Champions. We're going to review the show, let you know who won and who lost, and what we thought of the show. And then we have to talk about it. It's NXT TakeOver. It's going to be this Sunday on the WWE Network. So Rock and I and an intern are going to get together and analyze the show. We'll break it down. We're going to let you know who we think is going to win and lose and how you can play Pick'em with us for bragging rights, because we have zero prizes. So anyway, it's The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, midnight-ish, SuperRadio, SuperLab.com, GreaterThanGreatDebate.com. Sunday night, it's The Rack Extra Reviews, NXT TakeOver Live, following NXT TakeOver 31. We'll be live to review the entire show moments after it airs. I know, they're all heartbroken over that they're not doing their show on Sunday. Monday night, we'll be back for the Raw Post Show, 11 p.m. Eastern. We may have interesting content this week, too. We're working on some stuff.
Secret content!
And it might be live for you guys. Stay tuned. Twitch.tv/WTLive. Ding. If you have Amazon Prime, link is here in your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. You can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code Rocketstock in the $4.99 shop. #ad, #ad my partner. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at Linsboard, LANSWRD.
We'll see you Thursday night for The Rack. And right back here for the Raw Post Show, which is presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Every Monday night, long narrows on Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at WildTalkRadio.com.
WildTalkRadio.com.